Joel Corey had one, we had two.
Yeah.
That was just fucking minimal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly like that, yeah.
I think it's just
like, no, he's trying to get work, I feel like.
Yeah.
Get in the studio, man.
Obviously, yeah. He's Villa, innit? But when we're friends, it doesn't really, yeah. Like, we just, I've got a lot of friends that are fucking Villa fans, and he can't really fucking help it, but... And he was so nonchalant about it, like he didn't know. I was like, bro, that's fucking massive. You're going to be a tune with Ed and Stormzy. And then 2 days later, I got a message off Ed. Like, we want you to be on it. So I was like, fuck,
what's that,
didn't
what's that line? H, shy to the Joker. H.
H-I-J-K.
H-I-J-K,
make a lot of people.
Oh, that's ridiculous. That is a ridiculous line, man.
He just wasted our time a few times, man. Like, I remember being, this is 12, 13 years ago, probably, like, Wiley's coming studio, we all sat there gassed, we all bought drink and whatever, but gassed, and he doesn't come, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that was his impression a lot back in the day. Like, he'll say he's going to show up, he'll be on a flyer somewhere, but he's not going to turn up. And we felt the harsh end of that back in the day. Like, everybody did. I don't think you've been successful in this scene if you ain't got a story about Wiley fucking lunging you out about something, you know what I'm saying? What was shit was it was off the back of my friend's murder, you know what I'm saying? So I was feeling kind of like guilty at the time as well, yeah, because I felt like, oh, I'm getting his fame because he's not here. He's not here to kind of like live this new shit that we're doing with me. I'm doing fucking fire in the booth. All these things we've spoken about are like at my feet now.
Before we get into this, we're doing over 1 million engagements a month, but most of you aren't subscribed. If you enjoy the content, hit subscribe and follow us on socials. It'll make such a massive difference. Cheers.
Well, welcome along. JK, how are you?
I'm good, man.
Wicked.
Oh, yeah.
So, musician, actor, blues fan, promoter, Madonna Blues. Give us a little bit of a screenshot as to growing up in Small Heath. And...
It was lively. I literally grew up over the road by Sarah Park. So, we used to car mind. That was my first link to blues. I used to charge £1 to park the cars on the road, and we'd make 20, 30 quid and go swimming the next day or something. Like, that was the first link with blues. And then kids for a quid. Started coming to them games. I think like it was more just like my mates. Like, I wasn't really like into the football thing, and then my mates was on the blue. They were blues fans. Their dads were blues fans and things like that. So that's how I kind of got into it. And then we started going to the games, and just fell in love with it.
Thank you, man. So at the time, music then go hand in hand with the football.
Nah, younger to going to the blues is like 9, 10 years old first time probably. Music's like more like 15, 16. So. As I was finishing secondary school, that's when I got into music. But it was more clashing. That's what it was for me then. It wasn't like a serious thing. It was just I could cuss good and I could make it rhyme. That was the thing. And like, we clashed Balls of Green. You know what I'm saying? The two main lads from Balls of Green, me and my younger mate, Gex, we'd go and clash them two. And then two from Bromford a couple of weeks later. Do you know what I'm saying? It was more like a 2-on-2 thing. We'd just go to areas and just clash in the park. In the park, yeah. The thing
did you like English in that school?
I loved it. Yeah, I got A's.
I went Trinity.
I got A's in English. Remember Netto in Balls of Green, the park there?
So what is it? Butchers?
What's it called?
Med, wasn't it?
The Meb. Yeah, we used to clash on the Meb.
We used to clap a ball over there. Just go over the back and see if we have a wicked little picture, I don't know.
Six. Oh, yeah. Used to be a lot of things. A lot of geezers got killed off there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So growing up in Small Heath then, what was it like growing up? Was you a bit handy? Did you have to be handy? We know.
Yeah, you got to be handy in Small Heath, yeah. Small Heath, yeah, it's proper like a straight night area. Like, it wasn't really tools, you know what I'm saying? Like, rarely things, mad things would happen. I think that's as it got on with age and, like, the youth of today have kind of, like, took it into that. I think back in our day, it was more just scrapping. Like, we had loads of fights in the park, you know what I'm saying? No one's calling police, no one's getting too hurt or things like that. And it's done with them, probably friends the next day. And that was more our temperament of growing up. Fucking getting police chases, kicking doors and running off and just doing dumb shit. Like, that was our growing up at the time. Knock Door Run.
Knock Door Run, man.
Yeah.
Absolute classic. Underwriting Knock Door Run, isn't it?
Mm.
So what are your thoughts on blues this season? It's such fun blues.
Going into Christmas, I weren't asked about getting promoted or anything. I wouldn't mind a decent season, top half, and then go for it next year. But I think since Osman and Solis and these that have come in, I don't see why not. Like, I think they could do it, and it's going to be a tight run. You can kind of see who's going to get the automatic promotion already, who's in the run for it. I think Blues have got a chance to get into the playoffs. I wouldn't be pissed if we lost, but...
Got to have a good go at it.
Yeah, we've got to have a go at it, but like, I wouldn't mind another year of building a very solid team even ones that have took a bit of heartbreak together and pissed off. So when they get it, it's even sweeter for them and they're more ready for it. That's, yeah. But as for a Blues fan, probably the happiest I've been. When Wagner and that come in and took over, like, the whole past couple of years, what's happened down there, it's been the most exciting time of being a Blues fan since Horsfield and years like.
How was it getting involved? Who got you involved? Because you've been super Dini coming back and that, weren't you?
Yeah.
They used you a lot, though, had you come in to...
Dini thing was more because Troy wanted that. So, like, he thought it would be a good thing. And he actually approached me and asked me about, like, what do you think I should come to Blues? And we was talking, and at a time I thought it was just a little mild conversation. Then it ended up fucking happening. It was crazy, you get me? So that was more Troy's pushing it. But when the Chinese had Blues, I couldn't get I used to beg, let me do a kit release, let me do this, I'll do it for free. You know what I'm saying? Like, when it was these, like, when it was Dong and all these, like, there was no room or money or space for me in this club. And I feel like when the Americans have come in, they've really took notice, like, what's going on down here? Like, what do people like down here? And now I've got good people like Craig Gardner in here. You get me? I think he's the unsung hero in Blues. He's one person that he's definitely pushed my name and said, like, yo, we've got someone from the local area that's very, very tied in with the club, and we think we should use him. And I think from there, it's kind of stemmed the relationship with me and Blues. And yeah, like, not, like, yeah.
No brain on it.
Yeah, Dave's, for years, like, big up Davo, because he used to always get me tickets. Big up Amir from the ticket office, because he, like, Dave was looking after me, and people just thought Blues were looking after me, and I weren't. I was getting workers' tickets and sitting in the corners where all the workers sit. Like, that's where I was sitting for years. That's the only privileges I was getting from the club. But now, like, the 110s come out, I get the phone call. The new Penguin top come out, like, straight to my yard. They hand-delivered it to my house to have it on the day, do you know? Went to my mum's, it's around the corner. So, yeah, it's good to be a Blues fan now, yeah.
Right, fast.
What was it like performing for the Newcastle game?
That was wicked, because where are we now? We've come out here, I've performed over there, and then they've walked us around the Newcastle fans. So when we've come past here, we're getting spat out.
That's fucking the social.
We're giving it back. We're giving them all you anchors, whatever. We've come round here. We've made it literally here and this board. And that was it. That felt like a win in itself.
Yeah.
And you get me? And we played very good that day. Like, it was shit for the result, but it was good to see, like, Blues are kind of back. It's loud here again, and the team's trying, and it was a good Newcastle side as well. Like, yeah, they went for it.
Yeah.
Well, they won the cup, didn't they?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But yeah,
it was firing, man. It was firing that night, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Guys, let's hope we can kind of emulate that on Sunday, albeit it's 12 o'clock noon kickoff.
They've tried to,
fireworks don't work the same in the middle of the day.
Yeah. They've tried to, like, make whatever, but the Leeds game, the Leeds are going to come very active.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to come very low over there.
Right, let's take it back a little bit. So I love the clashing stuff. I've been watching all the all your videos now. So how do you go from knocking about down here, doing it with your pals, or doing it to other lads around the area? Where did you get the publicity, or where did people go, yeah, we need to get him on, we need to get him involved?
Do you know Pretoria Road in Wardsley Green? Yeah. My mate Abs lived on there, and we started our own little studio thing. Like, it started in my mate Jeremy's house. That's where we, like, first learned about software and things like that. But then Abs in Wardsley Green had the setup. So I started linking up with him. I call him family now. I call him my cousin if people ask. I've known him for that long. Like, we used to stay up all night and watch, like, Getz and Skepta and all. He got back in the day, like, shit you'd have to download. It was all LimeWire and whatever. So you'd have to find.
Yeah, LimeWire.
Yeah, you'd have to find what you want to listen to. It wasn't as easy as now. You'd have to download it, make sure your internet's good. And it was mad, but it was different then. So we'd, like, proper invest in all night. We'd listen to Westwood sets and all these different DJs and whatever, and that's what kind of made me learn, like, I'm not as good as what I thought I was, like, I need to get better. So that's where, like, writing and my craft for music kind of come into it, and then same, like, more clashing, like, that was the thing that was picking up, that MySpace and fucking all...
Yeah. It was the start of social media then, wasn't it?
Bluetooth and fucking infrared, you sent tunes around and that, so around locally, Small Leaf and things like that, my name was already popping from young, and then Vader caught wind of it. My mate Ricardo posted me on his Facebook, I think it was, years ago, and Vader's in the video and commented, must say, yo, who's he? And he says, Jay's from local, blah, blah, blah. He goes, I'm doing a set next week, send him down. And I went down there, Lady Leisha was there. Loads of people, like, that have done well, like, years on, do you know what I'm saying? But there was a few people there and I killed it. I think I was 16 then, and then I went into Invasion, and then that's when it kind of looked. But I went into Invasion as an angry kid. I was 16 with a skinhead for no reason. I had my hair's fine. Like, I just had a bald head. You know what I'm saying? And I was fat and I was aggressive, bruv. Like, I was just angry. That was my approach into it. And it kind of worked. People like that because with grime music, it's about aggression and it's about being hype and whatever. And I kind of had that from early. And it kind of, yeah, it just, it works, man.
How hard is it to keep that in check when you're clashing and you think it might go a little bit one way?
Things have gone where, things, some in Sarah Park there's a video when years ago went out and got took off YouTube years ago because in a clash, this geezer's 6-7 years older than me probably. In small Heath, he's the guy. His name's KDA, I don't give a fuck. I say his name's Marvin. I killed him off, yeah. But it weren't expected. Like, it was all like, you cheeky bastard. How can you even think that you can chat to this geezer? But they must have went and done a set. And my mate, Danny, said to me, they've just done a set for half an hour slagging you off. But I'm thinking, yo, we're mates. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck? So a bit of shit stirring went on and we met up in the park and we clashed. I killed him off that bad. A family member that he brought along to the clash, that was there. By chance, I read stuff about him as well. So he got killed off in the thing. There was tears. There was things getting pulled out. It was mental. Like, that was from then. But I think it's obviously more of a sport thing now. So it goes into, like, Lord of the Mics and things like that. That's what it eventually progressed into. Like, that's, like, the highest level that you can do this at. And I've done it twice. So, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I watched somewhere. Who's the lad that you had the T-shirt on? That was pulling out.
This guy there. Yeah. I spoke to him the other day. He sent me a... Well, he's got, randomly he sent me all the stickers of Jude Bellingham, these football stickers that he's got, one of ones. He's got the Charlton ticket when we played. He's got all the Jude Blues memorabilia. This guy has funnily, yeah.
So, yeah, so obviously you say, on the as you kind of progress with it and it's more of a friendly thing. So what, how long do you know who you're clashing and how much do you do to get to researching before you clash?
Depends. When it was more local, it was just like next week.
You just hear about, so and so, and then
there's a party.
What do you know about?
There's going to have a mic there and we'll just do it.
So, what do? You've got to not ask people anymore. You are giving some doubt, basically.
You've just got to, but it depends how deep it's been because I've had clashes where I've disrespected people and they've disrespected me. So, there's been a different level of research going on whereas some things are just like you can tell someone's always had a clash with somebody else or someone's had an open dispute with somebody else. That's your direct target to go to and have a conversation with, isn't it? It's sneaky, sneaky shit, yeah.
That was class. So, go on. So, how did the beef with Wiley and people start?
Yeah, so I'd seen a while ago the thing with London disrespecting Birmingham or not giving Birmingham the plaudits. So at what point was Birmingham... Do you think was acknowledged for the grime sound?
I still don't think we are. I think there's people that have done good things in Birmingham in the grime scene, but I don't think we've ever been given our flowers for it. Because there was a time where nothing was happening in London. There was no active grime scene. Skepta was making house music. Wiley was making fucking house and dance music. All the top Dizzy Rascals making party signs. There was no one in grime in London that was flying the flag. That's when Invasion and Stay Fresh down here. That's when we fucking started killing it. We was getting 100,000 views, 200,000 views. People like Sox was getting 1 million views back then when no one could get them kind of views. So yeah. I think we sparked that whole viral YouTube thing down here and having an audience and having people. Because before that, when you listen to Vime, it'd be hard to put a face to people because a lot of it's through, you'd listen to it, you wouldn't really see people's faces. Yeah, we come into the era where it's visually, oh, that's him. You know what I'm saying? And we got into that from quite young. I think we was lucky in that aspect. Like even Spotify and things like that. I remember signing up to Spotify and I didn't know what Spotify was. Like it wasn't a big thing. And now Spotify pays the fucking bills. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's just getting onto things early and making the most of them.
And how did you kind of get around to that with the business side of it, with how to try and make some money off it? Because that's, once you know you've got a bit of talent, people are bigging you up.
It's more so,
going, how do we make it pay?
You look at people fuck up first. That's more. Before it come to me, I seen people fuck up with things. So I knew what to do and what not to do.
Bad management and people.
Yeah, I never wanted to sign a deal. I never have still. Like, that's because I seen other people sign deals and just be put on a shelf and forgotten about. So there's things like learning from other people's mistakes. And then myself with the business, it's just getting a good manager and being able to, like, he's done good things for me as well. It's his... Him just rubbing shoulders with the right people. He's in London maybe 4 or 5 times a week when I can't afford to be having the conversations and meeting the people and getting me the deals that don't fall to Birmingham people because we're not in the conversation. Like, these people who work in the fucking labels and get all these marketing budgets have got five mates. They're already thinking about spending this budget on. It doesn't get to Birmingham. Like, that's our job to take things there. So, like, one of the big things that I've done, like, in terms of sponsorship was Reebok. And that was random. Like, why the fuck is Reebok come to me? You know what I'm saying? Like, in Birmingham. But that's just conversations that my manager's been able to have and plug me in, and I've been doing good things at the time and managed to be able to find things and find my feet in good things. And obviously I've had good opportunities with, like, songs getting synced into TV shows and a lot of independent, like, success. So whereas, like, I've never really had it like if you sign a deal, you get given a loan, basically, where you get given I've been offered £500,000 for shit, you know what I'm saying? But I would have had to pay that back, you know what I'm saying? So I'm happy getting paid monthly.
Yeah, and you're in their pocket then to be like, you've got to do this.
Yeah, I've got a distribution deal. So my distribution deal, I work with ADA. They're like a sub-label of Warner Brothers. So I pay a major label to work for me and give them a small percentage rather than be signed to the major label, then take the bigger percentage and me paying off the debt.
And forever. Incentive for them to get. It's whatever. Yeah.
I've got a team of fucking very good professional people that are grafting for a smaller percent because they need my product to go off because they need to work off it. That's the position that I'm in with music.
Fast forwarding slightly while we're on it, I remember just watching Power, Love Power, and then like that scene then when he's getting juked to Sandoval, and then you're shooting, I'm like, what? Like, because I've been a fan of yours and your music for a while, albeit I'm probably the older crowd, but when that came on there, it's just like, shoot, how's that come about?
Randomly got an email, thought it was a blag. I wasn't with my manager. My manager's name's Despa. This was the first thing that ever made me do business with him, because at the time, like, he had Stay Fresh. He ran Stay Fresh and I was Invasion. We was beefing for years. And then they both sizzled out. I've started doing well and you're the fucking brains of the city. Like, I need you kind of thing. So I asked him, do you know what this is? And he shouted me back and made me know, like, it's not a blag. This is a real thing. You need to sign an NDA. I didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
Signed a non-disclosure agreement, got an email back, set the scene. It's Ghost's apartment. But I hadn't watched Power.
Right.
But I knew Ghost was. It's like EastEnders, you know, Phil Mitchell is. You don't have to watch it. You know what I'm saying? So, I seen Ghost's apartment. I thought, fucking hell, it's in his apartment. It's a good bit. But then it was in this bit, and then it was in this bit. And I'm thinking, yo,
the whole month.
How the fuck is it? Yeah. And then Despa's like, yo, it looks like it's going to be on there for a while. And then I caught up with Power. And then up until the week that my episode dropped, and I watched it as a fan with everyone else, basically.
I was a killer not to tell anyone, though, innit?
I couldn't tell
no. No, that's what I mean. You were like,
nah, my sister was watching it hard. I didn't tell her.
Oh my god, no, it was just like, whoa.
Yeah. Changed my life, that dude, the whole fucking thing, yeah. The money was all right for me, but it weren't.
The exposure.
Streaming after as well, the tune still does mad numbers now. It's gold now.
Is it?
Yeah, it's gold, yeah.
Class. Yeah. That's absolutely class. I don't even know you at the time, but I was just like, yeah, following you, and come on. And I was just like, I was buzzing myself, never mind what you were saying.
Like, behind it. What I liked about it is there's four behind it because he gets killed in the dentist and the tune's called Toothache.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Someone had a bit of a. Someone thought to put that in there. There was such as you get any song and whack it in, like it comes in, then it fades out, then it comes in, then it fades out. I had a song on Top Boy, but it weren't the same. You know what I'm saying? The Toothache thing, the Power thing hit completely different.
Yeah. How did that. Then we're going off kilter a little bit. I watched that series you were in that was on Amazon. Mad. Yeah, that.
Jungle.
Yeah.
You're like the music.
How did that go down?
Fucking. Big budget, man.
It was so.
I think it's a bit ahead of its time.
I know.
It was. It's all sci-fi kind of shit. Yeah. It was like, there's a scene in there that I'm in, that in the program is fucking for 5 seconds. We filmed it like, I think it was 1 a.m. till 5 a.m. to shut that bridge. It cost $300,000 in London, central London. So we just, and at 5 a.m. they moved the shit and the traffic just reappeared. Like.
Yeah.
You sets over, you know what I'm saying? Like, but the thing, the guy looks out the window like he's feeling paranoid, and I'm sat on the bridge smoking a fag, looking at him up on his balcony. That clip there cost $300,000, but he only got used for 5 seconds in the program. It was a very big budget. They got a lot of actors in there. We got to write our own music in there, so it was good. So I never just got a fee for acting. I got they licensed my music in there because I wrote, I think I had 3 songs that I wrote on the
phone. Oh, I enjoyed it, but I didn't hear much about it.
It didn't do well, no. It didn't do as mad as a lot of people anticipated. It was good to watch, but yeah.
I think that's like one of them things that in like 10, 15 years, Gen whatever they're called will find them and be like, well, I've seen this.
Well, I've looked at it.
So how did you go from clashing and battling to music recording and recording albums? What's the transition there?
Just wanting to polish things up. So iTunes was like, you could drop on iTunes, and because we had like popular following, we was dropping little singles and EPs on there and hitting number one for like 2-3 days on the thing. And it's just, well, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just mad to us that we're seeing these things happen. And with the numbers that we're pulling in, then we're all right. Like, physical sales and things as well, it weren't that bad. So that was more of a drive to drop EPs. So I dropped an EP called A Bite to Eat. Well, that had like good tunes on there. But then I done Where Have You Been? And on Where Have You Been? It's like Too Fake, Moscow, Pull Up. There's some fucking heavy tunes on there. That Too Fake's Gold, Moscow Silver. I think, have I got one more on there that's silver? I'm sure Pull Up's about to be. Or like, it's like, it's coming like that. So I've like, that was just independently. It's just more for money, to be fair, back then. Like, you sell a song for 99p and get 69p of it, or you sell a fucking CD for a tenner and get £8. Like, it was just more for that. But I cared about my music, so I wanted it to be good. And I'm still performing these fucking tunes now. They're still the ones that go off on the set the most. The shit that I dropped how many years ago, they'll live with me forever.
Yeah, because I saw your symphony hall. How was that? What was that like?
The orchestra thing. Yeah. It was good, but I enjoyed doing like live with like live bands and things like that, but I only got to do 2 tunes. So it was good, but I feel like I'd like to do that myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a live show. Yeah. Eventually, yeah.
Yeah. Do all the arrangement and everything.
With myself, yeah. Maybe not as much. That was like an 80-piece orchestra. So they put months of graft into it, whereas we went, I think I went to rehearse twice for that. Yeah, but the orchestra, they would have been there for fucking months learning all of our music. So it didn't feel like a big production for me. It was more well done to them. It was easy for us. Yeah.
It's mad though, because you've got that and it's a classical setting and you're singing. You got the audience going, move
out. Yeah, I got to say, we've done it in London as well. It was good, to be fair. Yeah. As a show, in terms of a show, it was very good.
Yeah. So, in regards to going from talking about like beefing earlier, at what point when you're doing sends and that, so you hear someone, so someone tells you, or someone's done a song about
you.
How quick do you turn that around then?
I'm a 24-hour guy.
Yeah.
I'm 20. I had a clash with a geezer suddenly coming up 2 years ago. His name's Cruz Leon. He's like the hottest thing in London right now in the grime scene. Very, very good MC. But we had a little, what's it called on Twitter? Spaces. So he was fucking going back and forth on Spaces, slagging each other off, whatever. And then I was like, yo, send for me on it. I was just saying to him, like, send for me, like, go for it on it. If you want, go for it. And he, like a week later, poof, the tune come out. So I was like, I weren't even expecting it. I was going on holiday, actually. I was going to Jamaica, like in a few days. So I thought, I need to fucking deal with this fucking ASAP. So he sent for me. That same night, I banged one out straight away. Poof, sent one out straight away.
And are you thinking about him when you said to me, I'll send for me then? Are you all thinking throughout line?
I was, and then it fizzled, and then bam, he done it like a few more days extra later. So I weren't really expecting it, and then he done it. And I thought, you cheeky bastard. So I've gone mine, same night, banged it out, sent for him. But, all right, cool, he works and all of these things. He's got a job, and so he can't keep up with it. That ain't my fault, you motherfucker. You started with me. So, poof, I sent another one the next day, and he took too long to reply. So everyone was just like, J1. So if you're in the clash, if you're in the war, be prepared to drop your whole life. Like, you can't, if you got work, you can't go work. If you got fucking kids, you're going to have to fucking send them somewhere. Like, everything boils to that moment. That's why Chipmunk's so good at clashing, because it just, you'll sit in a fucking room and you gotta fucking go for it, and it takes over your life. And if you're not prepared for it to take over your life, don't get involved in it.
Quick shout out to Brum Life, our sponsor, for entertainment, news, everything Birmingham. Go check them out on the socials. Search for Brum Life. Cheers.
Obviously, you clash people from around there with kind of similar profiles. What's it like then going with Wiley, man?
what is the OG of it, innit? So as much as like I fuck around with him, I got a lot of love and respect for him as well. He just wasted our time a few times, man. Like, I remember being, this is 12, 13 years ago, probably, like, Wiley's coming studio, we all sat there gassed, we all bought drink and whatever, but gassed, and he doesn't come, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that was his impression a lot back in the day. Like, he'll say he's going to show up, he'll be on a flyer somewhere, but he's not going to turn up. And we felt the harsh end of that back in the day. Like, everybody did. I don't think you've been successful in this scene if you ain't got a story about Wiley fucking lunging you out about something. You know what I'm saying? So it's no malice towards him. It's more sports. Like, I'd love to stand next to him and go back to back with him and clash each other just because it's him as well. You get me? But
yeah,
with him, it, personally him, there's no malice. I've got time for him.
Is there any you've took on and you've thought of? Oh, there's a bit. It's a bit much. I don't know what's gonna come. Or is there?
Like still a Royke?
Yeah.
Probably, but not like anything ever serious, nah. Like, there's been one person that like was on this sending for me thing, and then I had a show, and then I seen someone go under the stage, and I was like, yo, what the fuck's my man doing? And then he's like, yo, that's so and so. And I was like, yeah, go under the stage, and like he literally seen me and went under the stage, so. Yeah, that's all I gotta say about it. People probably know who I'm on about, but yeah, he's seen me shit himself and he hit him to the stage.
Because I bet it's like, once you get to a certain, you put your head above the parapet and you start getting successful, it's probably a bit like Eminem and Machine Gun Kelly and every man in his dog fight.
It's
like,
not because the fans engage with it the most. It's the most exciting thing. And it's a sport at the end of the day, what we're doing. You've got to, and if you shy away from that, you're going to get found out. Like, it's,
even if you're like, Kelly, I'm worth my time.
Yeah, man, there's some people, yeah. Like, some people, don't get me wrong, there's someone that might say something about me, I just think, oh, that's cringy, you ain't even got the foot. But like I'm saying, the lad from London that I clash, you know, he had no following, no streams, nothing. I just know you're very talented, you're very good. I know you're good, I respect you as an MC, so that was enough for me. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I didn't need him to have a big fan base.
That's nice, that is, though, isn't it? For like upcoming artists as well, to know that they can get a space just by,
Depends who you are. Some people act like, I could send for someone now, and they could act like, I'm not big enough. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's just how it'll be, but I just think if I think someone's good enough, it doesn't matter if you're big enough. If you think if you're good enough, then yeah, you can have a go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where do you again? Slowly off this. Where do you stand on J. Cole, Kendrick, Drake? Where you're gonna go three wise and you step out? Nah.
I definitely listen to Drake more overall. Probably the most music I know from one artist right now in my head is probably Drake's songs. It goes for a lot of people that as well. Made me respect Kendrick more because I never really listened to his music. So I got his album that he dropped in that beef. I liked it. And I rate J. Cole. I've been listening to J. Cole actually recently this week. So they're just three artists that I respect, to be honest with you. Yeah, the whole...
Do you think if you step away from a clay, no, I don't want to do this now with friends, you can be looked at the same way in that arena, or are you done?
What do you mean?
Like if you still... He literally stepped out, didn't he? I don't want to. He's a friend. After him, sound first.
I write that. No, I didn't write that. No.
You can't.
You want to step in it. If you're not, then fuck off. Because if you ain't got the time for it, like I'm saying, if you can't devote your whole life to this fucking war, don't be in the fucking war, innit?
You can't drop an album then talking about you, right?
And you're the great, and you, yeah, relax. You know what I'm saying? Because the two top boys, they ended up doing it. And a lot of their, like some things that Drake's saying about him are meant to be bullshit, and some things that Kendrick's saying about him meant to be bullshit, but there's going to be some truth in it as well. Like, they've both dug and got their dirt out and whatever, and you're hearing things about these artists. Like, you're seeing Drake get slagged off on this, and was it Super Bowl final? Mm-hmm.
Super Bowl.
Man, I was in the studio, 20 of us waiting, gassed to see, like, that was very entertaining. Just to see if he would do it. I remember it was in the studio, just waiting for that moment.
Yeah, is he gonna do it? Is he not gonna do it? Then?
Yeah.
It's like with that then. So when you're in the studio, so you got some big features, ain't you?
Yeah.
So how does it work with feature? How do you get a recording of everyone on the feature first, or do you just get
that? Very, very rarely you'll get everyone's verse on it. Yeah. You might get the chorus. Yeah. But you won't get everybody's verse on it usually, nah.
So how do you, because there must be a competitive spirit with that as well.
100, me, definitely. I don't know how other people look at it. I think if you're a grinder MC though, you definitely attack it in a way like, I've got to outdo everybody else, yeah.
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 Have you ever had one come out and then, oh, fuck, no, he's better than mine?
There's one tune I've ever done that's with somebody else where I thought, you fucker, you went in, and it was Silky on Essex Girls. Like, I just love Silky's first four bars, pull up in a drop top Beamer, used to have nightmares, now I'm a dreamer. Like, just that there, I appreciate that. Like, I think, you fucker, that was hard. But apart from that, I'm happy with everything I've ever fucking give anybody else. Like, Getz in our scene, Getz is like the highest caliber of MC. And I've done two tunes with him, and I felt like I've done him on both. Like, that's my mentality. That's because I wanted to do that.
Yeah. That Mozambique's tune.
Exactly. That's one. That's, you know what's mad, yeah? He's got Ed Sheeran on that album, Stormzy, Skepta, everyone. The biggest tune on that album's with me, though. Yeah.
Where'd you get your inspiration from? Because you've had close friends pass in the past, and you seem to propel on and push on from that pain to me.
At the time, yeah. Like, it. After Depp's passed away, I had a very good year. Just musically, but personally, trashed. Like, I was fucked, and then I was just drinking all the time. It was just being waste mans, and then I ended up going to jail for a fight that we had in town. So my life was going, in one sense, very well, because I done the That's Not Me remix with Skepta. I done my Fire in the Booth. I done fucking
a Fire in the Booth.
Froggy EP with Daps. I done a lot that year. Like, I was very busy that year, and
I was like your breakout year, wasn't it? Because it went out nationally.
Yeah. That everyone's kind of seen what I was doing, and what was shit was it was off the back of my friend's murder. You know what I'm saying? So I was feeling kind of like guilty at the time as well, yeah, because I felt like, oh, I'm getting his fame because he's not here. He's not here to kind of like live this new shit that we're doing with me. I'm doing fucking Fire in the Booth. All these things we've spoken about are like at my feet now. And I haven't got my mate here to do it with. And we used to fucking rally. We used to spar with each other. You know what I'm saying? We used to argue. We used to fucking go mad at each other. Like, that was the... I used to do everything musically with him. So obviously him like leaving this world and me doing good in life as well. I had to meet in the middle somewhere. And it was just me being a dickhead every day for fucking a year. And I had to go to jail for it. And then I got took off the Marlboros. I was nominated for the Marlboros that year. That was the first grime act ever out on Marlboros. It was me and four other people. Stormzy ended up winning that year, but I had a better year than Stormzy in 2015, 2014, I think it was. I can say that confidently. I think I had a better year than everyone that year in my scene. So, and yeah, because I went to jail over doing stupid shit, they took me off the nomination. So, yeah, whereas musically, everything was going well back then as well. My life was kind of shit. Yeah.
Do you think on a spiritual level that, going a bit deep, but he was looking out for you and that was the
reason? I like to think that, yeah. Yeah, I like to think he's happy with what I've done and things like that, yeah. Because I was a big fan of him and he was a big fan of me too, yeah.
Yeah. Therefore. So,
I did the TV. What, come back? I had to end up on Man Lock Mobile.
Man Lock Mobile.
Because he's fucking small, Eve. And it's based on us, like, bro.
Yeah.
Guz Khan's first ever Mole Bean skit. He was in a crew called SHM and he's from Small Eve. SHM, Small Eve, man. Then that's us, bro. That's our whole life. That's my childhood, bro. Purple bandanas and all this shit. That's us. We started this shit in Small Eve. So that was his first ever skit. He was Mole Bean from Small Eve. He's in SHM. But the shop that Mole Bean goes to in the fucking program is my local fucking shop. The park that they're chilling is Sarah fucking Park. His mate's road on the thing is my fucking mate's house on the top of the road. Like, it's all very kind of interlinked to us. So,
did you know him before that then?
Of course, kind of, briefly, yeah. And my mate Yassin's brother Tigger works on the show too. So when there was an opening for it, I was pushing for it as well. Like, come on, you gotta fucking put me on there. Like, you can't fucking... It's more what it was. Yeah, that's
I saw that scene, because obviously I was doing some research and stuff, and then the algorithms kicked in. There's that scene when you pull up and you're trying to get his mates callous and to go to the party and like...
That's my mum's road.
Nah.
That's my mum's road. Like, this is all set.
Yeah.
This is my life. And I feel like my mate Clowns influenced that as well. My mate Clowns, I feel like he's a heavy influence on it as well. Like... But that's more what it was. Like, Man Like Mole Bean, it's filmed on the man. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just makes
sense. What do, man? It's my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a documentary. Yeah, we want to get Guz on, but he's a hard man to get hold of.
He's a busy guy, but I imagine he probably will, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he probably will. He's a good lad.
So how did you divert into the boxing? Because obviously you got Spider, yeah. It's flying.
Frightening as hell, by the way.
It's fucking amazing. Mm. At first, it was more Ivan helping. He had eczema. He was on a losing streak. He's fucking... He needs some drive and support that he hasn't got yet. So at first, I just kitted him out with Reebok. That's what I was doing. Then I found out, obviously, about strength and conditioning, how that can play a part in your sport. So I found Chris Mayer, sick strength and conditioning coach. Paid for his strength and conditioning for years, twice a week. His nutrition, sorted that out. He had to get a dermatologist for his skin. Like, loads of things, just improving his life in that sense of just helping him. And then...
So that he didn't have to worry about
that. Yeah, yeah, he could focus on his boxing. And he was quite young, he was probably about 17 these times, 17, 18. And then I asked him, like, what do you want to do? And he's like, I want to win the Nationals as a senior. Because he won it as a junior and he won it as a schoolboy. So the only thing left to win it as now is as a senior. That's when you've got no head guard on, basically. So he was like, fuck. And it was Corona, so there was no amateur boxing. It was off for fucking years. So the first year that he come back, he was like, I'm going to go and win the seniors at that. And then I told his amateur club this, and they was like, I don't think he's going to do it. Like, you can help him and that. Like, we'll try and that. But they weren't really positive in what he could do. And he fucking went there and battered everyone and won it. You know what I'm saying? And that's when I thought, yo, that's just for me kicking him up his arse a bit and giving him product and... Just taking his mind off things. And then, because he used to always go to the boxing shows anyway, a guy called Ross, he's the COO of Matchroom. So he's used to see me at the shows and he come up to me and made me know he's a fan and loves Moscow and whatever. So got his number, spoke to him and built a relationship with him. And then Matchroom started calling me down for podcasts or inviting me to these events. So naturally I just started chatting to fucking Eddie Earn and his lot. And then I'm working with Spider, so it's just felt like this is the right thing to do. So I used to always pick Eddie, used to send him messages all the time. Yo, you're going to sign my boy, you're going to sign my boy. I can show you funny messages, bro. Katie Taylor made me do it, because Katie Taylor, you know, obviously...
Yeah, man,
she messaged Eddie Hearn. I sent a video of her in the documentary saying, one day I just thought, I'm going to message Eddie Hearn, and I messaged him, and now I'm the greatest of all time kind of thing. So I seen that, I thought, fuck that, I'm going to pepper him. So I used to message him. Like, yo, I need you to look at my boy. He just beat Ricky Hatton's son, Campbell Hatton, in the final. He's just done this. So have a look at him kind of thing. And he was like, it's a good time to be amateur right now because of the climate with Corona and that. Yeah. Keep him going for a bit and see how he does. And then he had Commonwealth Games was coming up. When was Commonwealth in Birmingham?
22.
That was coming up. And then he joined Team GB solely off the back of we wanted to fight in the Commonwealth Games. The kid that he beat in the semi-final of the Nationals previously, the Nationals that he won, he got picked over Spider. So it was just like, what the fuck? Like, you just beat this kid, you're peppering him in sparring of GB, and they've picked him over you.
Why?
To represent in Birmingham at the Commonwealth Games. So we was like, fuck. Delicious was in there. Like, it was a good thing for Birmingham. Like, we thought we should have been on there, and we never got picked. So it was either sign a contract with GB and go the Olympic route, or... turn professional. And I asked him, what do you want to do? And Prince Nassim, like, he was the person that put it into clear context for me. He's like, we don't want medals, we want money, baby. And I thought, you know what, you funny bastard. That's the fucking medals, isn't it? We want world titles and fucking big dog. Yeah, big up Naz, because he's given me some great advice in this thing. And I've got a few people I can go and pick their brains in boxing. Obviously, I work with the McCrackens very closely. I've got the McCracken gym. That's mine and Spencer's gym. I learn a lot from them, but I've got a lot of other links in boxing as well, naturally, and just building relationships that I go and get advice off. Sonny Edwards is another one of my good friends.
Yeah, I saw you do. Yeah.
If I need any advice for him, I shout him. Like, we've got a different kind of relationship. That's my friend. I've gone on holidays with him, like, kids' birthday parties, things like that. He comes down, he's stayed in my yard, like, we've chilled. Like, that relationship was different. So when it comes to Galau fighting Sonny in Birmingham, I didn't give a fuck if Galau's from Birmingham. Like, Sonny's my friend. That's who I'm going to chat to after the fight. I'm not going to chat to anybody else. Like, and I kind of knew it was going to be his last fight. I've walked him out 2 times previously, so it wasn't like a big mad thing for me to do. I've already walked him out for 2 of his fights.
Eh? Get some powers for that from Birmingham.
Kind of. Like, because I've walked out in Birmingham and walked out the fucking Londoner, the Sheffield Londoner lad. Like, Sonny's from Sheffield. He lives in Sheffield, but he's from London. But Sonny's my boy. Like, he's my boy, like literally, like, I can't even explain. Like, he's done things for me I can't fucking even imaginable. Like, I chat to him all the time. I get advice off him all the time because he manages boxers now because he's retired. He's put his whole thing into commentating and into managing fighters. So if I need advice about anything, I ask on it. Like, I've got good links in the things in boxing that I can go to and they'll look after me. Sam Jones, Lee Eaton, people that are quite highly respected in the scene.
Yeah.
I'll chat to them all the time.
I think that's a mad thing that event log, all your life, you finally just go, oh, fuck, I'm just going to try again. So to him, and then doors open.
Kind of, yeah. Like, with Spider and Matchroom, I was like, we spoke to other promoters just for the sake of speaking to them and just to see kind of what they're worth. Yeah. It's like, but we always knew you were going to sign with Eddie. Like, he signed on his fifth or sixth fight, like, but Matchroom kept putting him on. Matchroom not put you on and put you on five, six times if you're not signed to him. That was my relationship with them, getting my boy back on, and he sells tickets, and he's fucking amazing. Like, and eventually, yeah, they opened the fucking checkbook, and he's in now, long time. Yeah.
What's the next move for him?
English title, hopefully. Yeah.
He's frightening. You got, like, just watching him and you bigging him up on there kind of also then puts him out, exposes him a bit more.
Like, I think, not just because he's my boy, like, I think he's the biggest boxer in Birmingham. I said there's, like, we've had Olympic gold medalists, which we could never replicate again, Kalari Afoy. We've had world champions, Kawi Afoy. We had Frankie Gavin, who's been amateur world champion, which no one from Britain has ever done since then in any category or any year. Yeah. Frankie's done something that no one... England have only got one gold medal ever since Frankie Gavin's got it. Like, that's an achievement in itself. But I think Spider's Birmingham's first boxing superstar, like, pay-per-view. Like, we'll sell this motherfucker out in a few years. That's what I think.
Is that a dream?
Yeah, and he's definitely falling more in love with the Blues, and Blues are looking after him now. He got the Penguin top the same day, you know what I'm saying? It's right, yeah, like, they're looking after him now. Yeah. And that's obviously through relationships that I've built down here. And he's won his first title now. He's just about to hit 50,000 followers. He's sponsored by Gymshark. He's fucking...
It's an asset, isn't it?
To Birmingham, I feel like, apart from footballers, I feel like, I could be very biased, but I feel like he's the biggest thing in the city. That's what I think, yeah.
No,
sure. And it's still very early days in his career.
Yeah, McCracken jibbers on Rob McCracken, man. Worst thing that AJ done, my opinion, humble opinion, was move away.
Mm.
Class.
Mm. And Rob didn't want AJ to fight, who's it?
No.
No.
That's the difference in it.
Very, but I'm lucky to be with these lot as well. Like, his brother Spencer, his son Spencer Jr. Like, I'm in with these lot. And even Rob, like, Rob's the biggest, most renowned coach in the country, and he's the head of GB as well, and he ain't got to show me no time, you know what I'm saying? He got to show me no love, but when he sees me, he shows me love, because he knows I'm not hindering his last name. I'm trying to promote his last name. We're trying to do good things with his last name. Yeah, you can see that.
It's nice when Birmingham people can look after each other and help each other.
Yeah, that's the whole point of what we're trying to do with the podcast, where you're just celebrating people who are just making, cause, again, going back to probably when we first started, we're always a bit self-deprecating, I mean, in Birmingham. Oh, yeah, we're all right. We're never London or Manchester shouting, yeah, with the bollocks and all that. We're like, yeah, we do some good stuff.
We're all right with you, innit? Because you've got to pick yourself up. That's what you do. Yeah. That's how you clash. You can't be self-deprecating and clash. And you can't, like, literally. Oh, I'm all right. I'm not too bad at this.
Yeah. So let's move on slightly to Ed Sheeran. So how the hell has that become such a bromance?
That's my boy, man.
That's big.
It's through... It originally comes from Take Me Back to London. So I was with H when H got the phone call. And he was so nonchalant about it. Like, he didn't know. I was like, bro, that's fucking massive. You're going to be a tune with Ed and Stormzy. And then 2 days later, I got a message off Ed. Like, we want you to be on it. So I was like,
What's that line? H, shy to the Joker. H...
HRJK make a lot of people.
Oh, that's ridiculous. That is a ridiculous line, man.
That was obviously through music, and then when we've met up to actually do the video, we've just fucking hit it off, and Ed's my age, so we've got a lot of things relatable that we can speak about. We've got a lot of mutual friends, and that's kind of how the relationship built. And then he was like, we talk about Corey's. You know what I'm saying? He loves Corey. So we go to Ashes. We've been to Ashes a couple of times. Like, when we was at Ashes, we was having food. And he's like, is there any way we can just go and chill out for a bit? And I was sitting thinking, he's the roost, crusty. Can I take him to the roost? Like, but that's what he fucking wanted. Like, I rang up. I told them, yo, who's there? Make sure don't invite no one. Don't keep it. Whoever you need in there, keep them in there. Apart from that,
let's see
it. Let it out. We've gone in there, fucking had it, pulling points, we're chilling, having a great time, singing, surrounding old games around the fucking pool table and that. Burns was there, Burns, yeah, after
the
incident.
The one of Burns' coach says he's a cheating ginger bastard, he said.
What, from playing pool?
Yeah.
Playing pool.
We're like, he can't say that.
Yeah. That one, the first, he went again. He's been to the roost twice. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Been to the roost twice. And it's not no security thing with Ed. It's just him and his one guy, Kev, with him. That's it. It's just him and Kev.
How do you handle it all? Because I see you get hounded quite a lot. Majority of the time, it's me and the roost, and it going, oh, it's how you come to the podcast. But you do get malleable, and you're kind of you take photos and you'll take.
I feel it's best to be that way. Yeah. It's part of the job that we're in, that we invite things like that. The only times it ever gets on my nerves is if my kids are there and you bang a phone. Not if my kids are there, because there's a way to approach me even with my kids. And I'm still going to say hello and take a photo with you. It's more like, not phone out and just you filming me. That's more the only things I don't like. Apart from that, I'll embrace it. I don't mind people.
Just have manners.
Yeah, people think. A lot of people said to me, I thought you'd be a knob. I thought you'd be a dickhead. You know what I'm saying? I find that funny because that's
true. What are you meant to say to that? Like,
no, yeah.
Look,
yeah.
I am. Oh, thanks. So, thank
it's just an image that I've given it, but I'm happy that they find out that I'm not, and I'll chat to them and I'll speak to anyone and whatever. Like, yeah, I've got a lot of relationships with people just from around here that go to the Blues, old and young, yeah. Mm. I met my manager, Craig. I've got two managers now, Despo and Craig. I'm starting to work with a guy called Craig. Have you ever seen a guy in the Blues in the roofs with a top hat on that's dressed very smartly?
Yeah.
With white hair.
Yeah.
He's the biggest music mogul in Birmingham. No one even knows. He come up to me one day and says, oh, how's Ed? I says, who's Ed? I didn't know anything about Ed Sheeran. Ed Sheeran. I was like, how the fuck do you know Ed? He's like, there's a lot of things that you don't know about me, mate. And there was. He's fucking, I've picked his brains. I'm in Ashes with him as well. He's like, I can't believe how big he is and influential the music is, but that's another Blues person. That's someone I'm going to put you in contact with. Yeah. I need to get a hold of Craig because no one knows his story. He stands in the roost on his fucking own with his fucking drink and he says hello to everyone, but no one knows him. I'm going to show you about him. The people that he has made and the fucking, I don't want to be as abrupt, but the money he's fucking made from music, the things he has done for me, he's the biggest thing. From Oscar.
The biggest secret. Yeah, my dad's own, and then he'll just stand in the roost chilling on his own, no fanfare, just mind his own.
Fucking legend, Craig, yeah. Legend.
So, one of your bangers, you have mainstream bangers, Flowers.
Mm.
Absolute tune. How did you end up sitting down with a massive Villa fan tonight last year?
I bet there's some back and forth.
I made him.
Sweet female attitude.
Yeah, originally. My relationship with Nathan Dore stems from Zanti. So he'd be the main DJ in the club at Plus Club. And I used to go out there maybe once a week throughout the summer and do a show out there. But he'd be there the whole summer. I'd go there like once a week. I'd have Napa, I'd have Ibiza, Magaluf, like random ones throughout the summer. But that's how our relationship kind of built. And then he wanted to get into the producing. He was sending me things on WhatsApp. And then he'd done a couple things, and then we made a song called, what the fuck was the tune called? With Brucey, I can't even remember. Made a tune with them. That was like the first tune Nathan had done. And then because he was having like, he's always been able to sell tickets to Nathan as, like he's, you can work with him commercially. He's very professional.
Yeah.
So he got knocking on the doors with labels and things like that. And then he brought Flowers to me and I was like, kind of skeptical about it because who just dropped a version? I think it was, what's their names, man? Is it, what's their names? Three women, that's Mutia was in the band.
Oh, Sugar Babes.
Sugar Babes released a version. Oh, yeah. They released a version of Flowers.
Yeah.
And it was like someone else released like an orchestral version. So at that time, Flowers was already like around again.
Sweet thing. What was that, Sugar? Like, that
just nice. Killing
it. Oh. I was going to say, is that just at that point, then the royalties drop off and you can just use it? Like,
I don't know. I don't know. Nah, but they definitely got money for it. They definitely got something, yeah. And then we ended up doing it. We went to the studio. And then I don't even know how the fuck. That was the second biggest dance tune of 2019 in the UK. Second biggest selling dance tune of 2019, I think that was. First was Joel Corry. He had a tune.
It was a remix as well of an old one, wasn't it? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think it was Sorry. It might have been, you know. Yeah. Might have been. Or Lonely. It might have been.
Lonely, yeah.
Might have been Lonely. Joel Corry had one. We had two.
Yeah.
That was just fucking minging.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly like that, yeah.
I think it's just like, no, he's trying to get work up here. Like,
yeah.
Get in the studio, man.
Obviously, yeah. He's Villa, innit? But when we're friends, it doesn't really. Yeah. Like, we just, I've got a lot of friends that are fucking Villa fans, and you can't really fucking help it. But I made the biggest Villa fan anyway.
Yeah.
And I'll do it. Yeah.
Just moving into a completely different angle. So as a proud Brummie with kind of rich mixed heritage, there's a big thing about flags at the moment.
Yeah.
What's your take on it? Because I've heard.
What have you heard?
I've heard you've got mixed.
Nah, you want to know what's funny? Yeah.
Go on.
I'll tell you a story. So I was in town. I seen Ryan. He's come up to me, but like, Ryan's my boy. I've known Ryan for years, and it Zed's and it Blues. Like I know Ryan and it. Like we've got a lot of mutual friends. He's my friend. Yo, look. Are you all right with me in there? And I was like, yeah, why? You get me? It's like, I've heard you went. Just like you've heard I ain't. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, nah, like, I don't give a shit. As long as you're not racist, I don't give a fuck any. Like, you go to any country in the world, they fly their fucking flag. I'm not mad at seeing England flags in England. You can't be. Do you know what I'm saying? But I think when it's targeted in inner city communities, which once are probably relate that flag to racism, to things that they happened to them in maybe the 60s, 70s and 80s,
yeah, yeah,
that they might see that flag and before they even think of this great country, England, they resemble it to being targeted with racism or something.
BNP and all that.
So you see, I don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand any of it. And I don't like to get involved in any of this shit, yeah. But I kind of get it why some people will see that flag and think, oh, are they trying to push us out kind of thing? Like, but nah, if it's got literally, you want to be patriotic and you want to fly your flag, I've got no problem with it. It's just when I feel like if it's being used to push somebody out and make them feel fucking alienated, that's when I think it's a bit wrong. Do I think there's a problem with illegal immigration in the country? Fucking 100%, isn't it? I'm not fucking stupid. I don't want to live in England no more. I always wanted to live in Birmingham. I don't know if that's the case anymore. I don't know if I want to be in England forever. Like, there's problems, probably too big for us. I think it stems to fucking Labour and these kind of things. And when it comes to this, we haven't got to fucking say, like, it doesn't have to be drama with everybody. And the conversation I had with Ryan, the only thing I told him is, the one thing I'll give you advice on is don't work with Danny Tomo, and they've learnt the fucking hard way. Because when you bring people in like that, who are, like you're saying, you see his face and you fucking link it with something else, and that stuff, people start calling you far right now because you're working with certain people that have been rubbing shoulders with certain people and pushing certain agendas. That's kind of stemmed onto them now. Whereas when it was just Ryan and his, I don't know the other guy's name.
Elliot.
When it was just them two doing their thing and aligned with just them, and it's about our city and it's about this, and we're not linked to anybody, good on them. And well, you can see how
it's like splinter groups off that, yeah, as well. They exactly use that as a platform and then are going down the.
But have I got a problem with England flags in England? Nah, but you can't, bruv. And World Cup's about to be a lot fucking more, bro. And if fucking England win, we're all going to be fucking happy and we're all going to be dancing. So it's one of them things. We're all proud to be English, we're all proud to be British. I come from immigration, do you know what I'm saying? I come from that in this country, but I'd be blind and stupid to say that there isn't a fucking problem in this country, but I just think it's too big for us.
Quiet answer.
So follow me then, mate. Onto the future. Obviously, you've got a big tour coming up, ain't you?
Street. Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to get on the whole thing, to be fair, because they're doing Ludlow Castle, they said.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not the same promoter. I want to get on there. Yeah.
What's how did that come around with Mike? Is it another Birmingham thing with Mike? Because you seem quite tight, driving type for years.
Growing up loving him, that's my in Birmingham, it's Ali Campbell and Mike Skinner for me, always has been. Been lucky enough to meet and work with both of them. Mike's more out here though, like, do you know what I'm saying? So growing up, the whole fucking, the Reebok shebang and the fucking, you know what I'm saying? And the fucking Blues tops on stage. And that's me, and that's what I used to love seeing. I love Mike Skinner. So one day I was, he was only on his producing. He wanted to DJ and produce and things like that. He wasn't on anything. I want to chat to him about making music. Why are you not touring? He's not answering my questions. I haven't got the confidence. He's like, literally ask him. If you ever get the chance to ask him, he says, like, I'll give him a oomph that he needed to get back on. Because you said to him, like, fucking money, and he knows he's not stupid. He knows he can come back and touch anything in terms of gold. But we kind of like picked up his confidence. Me, Bowser, and Despa have really helped him, I think. And then I've supported two Streets tours. And then I've got the three Birmingham legs for this one. But obviously, three Brunshaws, they're the ones you want to do. The Brunshaws for the streets, fucking something else.
Oh, you had to, because I did one in the streets first.
It was opening for them, yeah.
And he went into the crowd, he got on someone's shoulders and he was having it.
Shoulder dislocates, he fucking just... Have you seen him fight for a shoe?
Yeah. That's what happened.
He cut back on the thing, he's gone... Who's got horrible bastard, stop. But only about...
He's a legend, man. Like, there's some people, like, even he's a... rest in peace to Ozzy Osbourne, this people. But I look at him, Birmingham, I think, yo, fucking hell. After you guys, and like, who is it? And I like to think it's me, bruv. That's kind of like the where I want to fall into. There's a lot of artists before me that have done great things from the city, but I feel like when you think after Skinner, who is it? You know what I'm saying? Because that's kind of the pecking order for me. Like, it goes on, you'll have your Ozzy, Ali, Skinner, and then who is he next?
Gets off on the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Mark Rushmore.
What's new album in the offing? Or
it's fucking been done, to be fair, bro. Ramadan's coming up, so I'm gonna take a month off, and after that, I'm gonna start hammering it.
Right. What have you done? TV work?
In the pipeline. Nothing confirmed yet, but there has been talks about something. Yeah.
Are you in the second series down there?
What?
You got the Amazon guys down there filming, friend.
Nah, man, but yo, they need to put me in fucking Peaky Blinders.
I know, I'm just about to say that as an expert.
Yeah, I got an invite a couple of days ago for the film. They're dropping the film. I've got an invite to go to the thing, and the thing I heard the woman say on the phone to my manager's, oh, yeah, we need JK there. You fucking need me in the fucking film. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be in there long. I don't want to be for Tommy. I was thinking, is that JK? Boom! God,
just have a wicked death.
Yeah,
we're putting a bow and arrow in the neck.
I'm not asking for too much. I don't want to roll. Just, is that JK? Ed Sheeran's again, if I was playing the fucking guitar around the fire, like, I just, yo, small leaf, Peaky Blinders, you know what I'm saying, bro? Steven, you know what I'm saying? My boy, you cried in my fucking arms here, bro. You cried in my fucking arms here, first day of the season when the Americans took over. You know I'm small leaf, Steven Knight, put me in your fucking shit, bro.
He watches this
avid play. Horse, man. Put him on a horse.
He's having horse riding classes as we speak.
Yeah, he is. Do anything.
Wicked, man. So, finally then, have you got how would you kind of like to be remembered? How do you like to be known? Is there any kind of advice you've got for up-and-coming artists? So it's sides of blues, just kind of rap.
Just stay true to yourself. And when I say be real and that, you don't have to be against it. Just be true to yourself, man. If that's something that you don't want to do, don't do it. You don't have to portray anything that you're not. Keep your head down and fucking work hard and shit will come through, man. Yeah, good things come to those who wait, and you go without for so long to be rewarded with everything in abundance. Yeah.
Mike, legend.
Class.
Keep rocking.
Leave one.
Thanks, man.
If you like this video, please do click to subscribe to the channel. We currently have 5,500 members, over 500,000 views. So let's convert some views into memberships, and that'll continue to enable us to bring great guests on and continue making great podcasts. Thanks.